Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc., after he's traveled the world over the holiday season, and he's now back. Welcome back, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Newell, and happy New Year to you. And hoping that the following 364, are quite different and better from the first.
Yeah, that was obviously a horrific circumstance. I know that you were kind of watching this unfold from afar. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I was over in Europe visiting my wife's family, and was actually at breakfast from New Year's Eve, not necessarily feeling my best, and got a phone call. It was 11 a.m. Europe time from somebody else. I won't say who, here in Louisiana. And I did the math in my head as the phone was ringing. I said, this is not good. This is 4 a.m., back home. So changed plans and came back. And I think what's become, apparent here, Newell, is that This was an ISIS-inspired terror attack on America, really. And we were just chosen because New Orleans embodies the humanity and the diversity of our country. And you only have to look at the pictures of the victims, which is really when this becomes personal, I think, and see what a cross-section it represents of America and of the world. So, it's for me. I was actually meant to fly out from JFK on 9/11. I was in New York, not New York City. But this is the first time I've felt that way since that event. That kind of feeling of violation. That feeling of shock. And I think what's going to happen is, in the same way that 9/11 changed everything for air travel, I think that this is going to change everything for the way we handle large events, which is, so much a part of our culture and our economy. I think that's to be determined. I think it's impossible to ever stop somebody who's willing to die to inflict mayhem. But there's no question that beginning with the Super Bowl and then Mardi Gras, we're going to see some pretty significant changes over the way we've done things in the past.
I have to assume that there's been meetings already with the NFL in the aftermath of this horrific event. What are you hearing?
So, yeah, there have been meetings with the NFL. I've not been in those meetings. I've just heard about them secondhand. But that apparently they are satisfied with the immediate response, satisfied with the plan. The biggest difference that's happened now that we can point to specifically is that the Super Bowl was already a Tier 1 event, which is the highest level. Now Mardi Gras is going to be at that level. I think what you're going to see is that the level of federal support and coordination, which was already going to be extensive for the Super Bowl, is just going to be that much greater. And it's a difficult thing to telegraph, to say in the right way. But I think the truth of it is that after a horrific event like this, an attack like this, areas get so much attention. They're very safe. So we're going to have a very safe Super Bowl. And more than that, I think we're going to be able to show 150 plus million people in the world a New Orleans that looks better and brighter than they've seen in years. And so I think it's going to be a chance for us to demonstrate who and what we are as a city and as a community, and I think it's going to reflect on us very well.
You know, Michael, interestingly, I know the focus obviously is on the Super Bowl. We have playoff games starting this weekend. They're every bit as important and every bit as possible of being a target. We have playoff games for the national championship of the NCAA in Dallas and in forgot where the other one is. My mind just went blank. Obviously, yeah. Challenges there. You know, I've said this from the very beginning. Pick a city, pick a state, pick a country. This could happen anywhere. It's really about the minimization of risk, but more so about being proactive in developing street-level intelligence, collection of intelligence information, dissemination of same, which is what I think we really need to do an after-action on to see where we're ultimately going to be. I agree and I applaud the mayor for procuring the SEER 1 designation. I think it was important. She's been trying since 2019. But I don't really believe that this is going to be rip up the whole plan, start afresh, and do things fundamentally different, because you can't eliminate risk.
That's right. I mean, it's the same debate we had after 9/11. You have to balance minimizing risk with allowing people freedoms in every mm-hmm. sense, right? Whether it's right. freedom of movement or freedom of communication. And there's going to be a balance that's struck here. And I do think it's important to remind people and remind the world that on a per capita basis, there's probably no place, maybe in the world, that is as successful an experience at hosting large events than New Orleans. We do this very well year after year, and we've been doing it very well year after year in difficult circumstances. And so I totally agree. I don't think this is a rip up the playbook. I think it's a refine the playbook, add a couple of chapters to it. But there is something that you just kind of alluded to that has been a theme that's been coming up in a number of conversations. And that is that I do think that it is time that we retire the word resilience. Not that we're not resilient. I think that New Orleanians and Louisianians define it going back hundreds of years. But I think it's not just that it's become a bit cliche, but it can become used as an excuse for lack of preparation.
It's all about competency. I mean, you know, I've said this from day one, and probably while you're out of town, it's not about the bollards. It's about the execution.
That's right. And let me give you an example of where we've done this well. So, you know, after Katrina, we did an after action, and we basically discovered that the outfall canals had become infall canals. They we created these great vulnerabilities with our canals and the Mr. Go. And so what we did is we stopped them, we blocked them, we put up the $15 billion hurricane risk storm risk reduction system. And as a result, when subsequent storms have hit us, like Ida, we've had none of the surge damage, zero, that we had from Katrina. So we were able to use the words of General Honoré, we were able to move to the left side of the disaster curve. We were able to do things before the event. And I think that's important to remember that you're going to have natural phenomenon that are really volatile. And you're going to have people who are sick, who are evil, who do try to do terrible things. With the right policies and, as you said, the right execution, damage from those events can be minimized. And so, it's all about thinking about what we do beforehand to minimize. We'll never get to zero because we wouldn't want to live in a zero risk society. It wouldn't be worth living.
Yeah, I mean, I think the classic example, you know this because you worked extensively with it, all of the floodgates that have been put in, right? They're great. I mean,
exactly.
You know, we're able to pass from point A to point B and inside the flood protection, back outside the flood protection. But if you don't close the gates, they're not worth the paper they're written on.
It's absolutely right. And there are other structural things. I think one of the things that's going to come out of all the post-action analysis is that all the finger pointing that inevitably is going to happen is going to indicate that there are far too many actors with far too diffuse responsibilities for a lot of our jurisdictions. And this is endemic to New Orleans. I mean, we saw it with sewer and water board and DPW and drainage. We're going to have to figure out how to establish better single point of management and accountability in our tourist areas so that we can have better command and control. There are some structural issues here that have to be addressed, I think, if we're going to get better results in the future.
Very well said. A lot of road construction stuff going on. Let's move to that with the Super Bowl. 32 days to go. It is knocking on our door for certain. And got a lot accomplished, but still got a little ways to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that the Super Bowl effort is going forward unabated. We're getting a heck of a lot done. Things are getting done that we're not necessarily even expecting to have finished before the Super Bowl. Many roads have been repaired, blocks have been fixed. Completed streets include Perdido, Poydras, Girard, Charters, St. Anne, St. Peter. But now some road closures have begun related to the Super Bowl. And so I want to update the audience on what we're seeing today. All the roads surrounding the Superdome and the arena have now been closed for NFL load-in. Also, parts of Howard Avenue leading to the entrance to the Superdome campus has been closed off as well. Part of Howard is still closed by Plaza Tower, and we're working to get that reopened. Also, the Girard underpass between Dixon and Loyola is going to have a partial closure, so people should avoid that. You can find street-by-street updates coming to nolastreets.info. That's our website, nolastreets.info, that we are updating on a weekly basis.
Progress on murals as well.
The murals are fantastic. You can see a new one going up on Girard Street. The courthouse that I'm looking at right now is going to be absolutely gorgeous, particularly the panel that's catty-corner to Poydras and Loyola. There's going to be work starting down on the Marriott by a world-famous artist named Shepard Fairey of the Obey fame. There's going to be a mural going up on the ferry terminal. There's going to be one on the railroad trestle coming into town. And, of course, Plaza Tower is getting wraps and a Becky Foss. And so you're going to have these installations, as well as, of course, the 100 blocks of the French Quarter, with the exception of Bourbon Street, that we're going to preserve now. But you're going to have these murals and beautification elements that are going to last, you know, for a decade and are really going to brighten up the city and reflect our culture and our people. So we're thrilled to see these going up. It's very, very satisfying.
A lot going on, Michael, obviously up in D.C. as the lame duck president moves towards transfer of power to Donald Trump. Congress recently passing a House Resolution 10545, the American Relief Act of 2025, that importantly keeps the NFIP afloat. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, it's a big omnibus bill that does a ton of things. It keeps NFIP afloat, which is fine. This is the 30-some-odd short-term extension. We still don't really have reform on NFIP. I have to tell you, Newell, that with the new administration, I am encouraged that we're going to be able to get the reforms on NFIP and risk rating 2.0 that we wanted, which are transparency, affordability, basically making it more responsive to the market. We kind of got stonewalled in the current administration from FEMA, and I think there'll be a change of attitude under the new administration. At the same time, we're continuing to work on writing on what I call NatCat, which would be National All Hazards Insurance. This is the kind of shoot the moon idea, but it basically would take our current NFIP program and expand it to include hurricane, tornado, earthquake, fire, and you'd be pooling a lot more of the country in it, therefore spreading the risk and thereby making the program more viable. So we're working with some experts and would hope to get that run next fall, even as we're trying to reform the current NFIP program.
And Michael, in our remaining time that we have, let's talk briefly about what you think are maybe like the top three successes of 2024.
Oh, man, the top three successes of 2024. Well, I think what we're going to first of all see is the Super Bowl, which really was a 2024 effort, happening in 2025, is going to be a success not just for the game, but for the community and the city for a long time after. The second, I'd have to say what's happened in law enforcement, Noel. We're going to end the year with a homicide rate that is slightly under 50% down from 2 years ago. Carjacking's down 70%. I think that's a tremendous win for the entire community. And then I got to give plaudits, I think, Noel, for the tax reform that the governor and the team were able to get through. It wasn't everything, but it was a step in the direction. It's not perfect, but I do applaud the governor for having the courage, frankly, to take on this really difficult issue and to make some intermediate progress. Oh, do I get a bonus? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you don't like that answer anyway. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you hate that answer. Forget that answer. I'm going to say the Meta announcement up in Northwest Louisiana, Louisiana.
Huge.
That is. It's their biggest data center ever, and what it means is that it's not just big for that area, which desperately needs it. It means that Louisiana is not going to miss the AI wave like we missed the automotive wave.
Whew. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to have some fun by limiting you to three because I know that there's many, many more, right?
Yeah. Many, many, many more. But you got to shut down the monologue.
Absolutely. I did want to ask you, and now my mind just went totally blank. Oh, getting a lot of texts, lighting in the French Quarter, lighting on the interstate. We are convinced that that's going to happen before the Super Bowl.
So lighting in the French Quarter, 100%, because we're managing the contractor for that. I can give some detail on this, interestingly. There was a problem with some of the parts that were needed for the old lampposts, so we found somebody local who's recasting them. But I'm very confident about the French Quarter lights, street signs. Of course, you've got Sidney Torres now giving it the lemon fresh smell. So the quarter is going to be, I think, looking and feeling really good. On the interstate, we talked about that extensively this morning. Those are all scheduled to be fixed. There is an outage right now, I think, on the Pontchartrain Expressway that we're looking at. But yes, it's absolutely one of our focus items, and we're doing a drive-through, I think, tomorrow night to see what's remaining out. So it's a high-priority item, and I think that they're going to get fixed.
Yeah, that Pontchartrain Expressway section, I get a text about it almost every day.
So we were and we were talking about it this morning. It was top of the agenda from Joe Threat and the team.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.